It's interesting how the Holy Spirit works. Wednesday night, Brother Rick was sharing, and I just felt impressed to the Lord to ask Jesus to come up and share a word, that something that we've been really having a talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit in absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. He needs to be involved. You need to be acknowledging the Lord in everything, right? And you're singing, you're teaching, you're preaching, you're serving, you're at your job. It's Holy Spirit help, right? Direct, help me. And praying for the sick, Holy Spirit, come, right? We need you. And so guess what Rick preaches on? Now, I had no idea what he's going to preach on. He preached on the importance of the Holy Spirit. And guys, that should always be our theme, amen, is that we are people of his presence. And the Holy Spirit is God on earth. The Holy Spirit is God in us, amen. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Bible says the Lord is the Spirit, amen. It's the Spirit of Jesus in us, amen, the Holy Spirit of God. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so God wants to set the prisoners free. He wants to set captives free. I believe, amen, in the atonement of the blood and the forgiveness of sins, amen. But we also know that there's power, amen, in the name of Jesus. And when we invoke the name of Jesus in accordance with the word of God, the will of God, then there's power to liberate captives, amen, to set captives free, to break, if you will, the oppression of the enemy off of people, amen, to open up blind eyes, deaf ears. And so God wants every one of his people so liberated that praise is just an automatic expression that flows freely from our hearts. Wherever we find ourselves, we're not bound, amen. We are free to express our praise. How many know that we were called to declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness and brought us into what is marvelous light? We are to declare the praises. So we're boasting on God when we praise. Amen. And you know, we come before God with what? Singing. Come before his presence with singing. And we enter his gates with thanksgiving, gratitude, right? And his courts with praise. So important that we are engaged, involved in praise, because God will inhabit the praise where he's, amen, because he's invited in a place where there's praise and gratitude to God. Hallelujah. So God wants us, amen, to be free to express, amen, what's in our hearts. Sometimes there's a desire, okay, but we feel a blockage. Has anybody beside myself ever felt in a place where you just felt bound up or blocked? Amen. Like there wasn't any movement. Like there was something there trying to break loose, but you weren't quite getting it. How many know that God wants us to break free? He wants us to break free. Because in order for us to be bold witnesses, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To activate us, but also to break the yoke of the oppressor. Satan is a oppressor, isn't he? And he wants to silence you. He wants to shut down your witness. He doesn't want you to speak the name of Jesus. Amen. And so if he can bind you up by simply cooperating with him, you know, sometimes you just got to do the opposite of how you're feeling. If I feel it, you know, you've heard the term, I felt led. Well, I believe you can feel led. Amen. But I also believe that sometimes your feelings can deceive you. And so we have to do despite our feelings sometimes, because we know it's what God wants. And so when we obey God, despite our feelings, good feelings will follow faith. You want good feelings? Obey God. Amen. He'll bring joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. But it takes you and I being a bold witness, amen, to step out and to declare the praises of him. Declaring the praises of him. Somebody said declaring the praises of him. We are to be salt and light in this world. We have been called to be an influence. Amen. Now God is able to break every yoke, to set every captive free. Amen. And by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, every captive can be free. And God wants us to be the agents through whom he works, amen, to liberate people from oppression and depression and you know, being bound by demonic power, amen.
because the power of God is greater than the power of the devil. How many know that all power comes from God? Amen? Because he's the creator of all things, whether they be principalities or powers, right? Magistrates, is he is the Most High. He is El Elyon, the Most High God. So he has all power and he has all authority. Now, the devil understands authority. See, the devil does have power, but he does not have legitimate authority. So when Jesus showed up on the scene, amen, he stripped him of his armor and that which he trusted in. A greater had shown up, amen. And so today, because of what Jesus has done for us at the cross, amen, the cross was a victory. Jesus has literally stripped the enemy, amen, of his authority. And he's basically wounded him with a deadly wound. Amen. He's just kind of limping along. And the only real weapon he has is deception, to tell lies. And if he can get us to believe the lie, then he can usurp the authority that God gave us and use it against us. He doesn't have legitimate authority. Jesus has stripped him of that, but he knows legalities. He knows the law. And he knows that if we give him permission by listening to him, then he can then use that against us in a court of law. So we need to say, you know what? I'm not listening to that voice anymore. And God wants me to be free. God wants me to be so free, amen, that I'm like a child that just dances in the court of his king, amen? And I can be free to express my heart to God, and I'm not bound by the opinions or the fear of man. Because God wants to break that yoke off his church. God doesn't want weak, wimpy Christians, amen? He wants strong Christians. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to walk armored up, because the enemy is going to slip those things in once in a while, isn't he? So we got to really be on guard so that we don't allow those darts to get in there, amen, and start a festering wound. And if you've received a dart from somebody or something's happened to you where there was an offense, well, you better deal with it right away, lest that thing, amen, begin to fester, all right, and begin to grow and to defile others as well, because God wants those things rooted out of his people. He doesn't want his people walking around wounded anymore. He wants his people to be healed. He wants his people to be restored. He wants his people to be set free by his power. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us being bound by the devil anymore. Amen. The world needs to see a witness of Jesus Christ and the power of God through the people of God. Amen. That we're walking in our liberty in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:26 says, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. The title of the message today is The Natural Comes First. The natural comes first. He who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Now, who is the overcomer? Amen? But you and I are overcomers in Jesus' name. We are to enforce what Christ has already done on our behalf. Christ has given us the ability to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're no longer bound by sin. In Christ, you have been made free. Amen? But you have to enforce that freedom and not allow yourself to be entangled again in a yoke of legalism or of any type of bondage to sin, because Christ has already paid the price in full to liberate his people so that we could go free. Amen? The overcomer is the believer who faithfully obeys the Lord. The overcomer is the one who remains faithful to the end. Guys, there are many people who begin well but end poorly. It's not how well you begin, it's how you finish. Some people begin poorly but end well. Amen. How many know that God wants you to finish well? God wants you to have victory, amen, not only in the days to come, but today. and your faith in God and what he's done and what he's made freely available to you is your victory. It's not of me, it's of him. The Apostle Paul was an overcomer. In 2 Timothy 4:7, at the end of his life, he could say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I pray, God, that you would anoint me and use me and speak through me, reach through me, touch through me today. God, I pray that you would deliver your word into every heart, Lord, bring transformation, renewing of the mind, restoration of the soul. Lord, set every captive free, break the yoke. I bind all the powers of darkness over this place right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And overcomers, who are the overcomers? Well, the Bible is very clear. They will be given power over the nations. Did you know that God has called you and I to partner with him in this life? To humble ourselves, to take upon ourselves also the form of a servant. To commit ourselves to the work and to the will of God. Amen. To live our lives now in the natural for the glory of God. Because the day will come when God will reward those who have been faithful to the end. Not those who began well and quit, but those who remained faithful. And the only way that we're going to overcome is by relying upon the power of God made available to us by the Holy Spirit. So in Revelation 2:27, it says that he's going to rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces, what the nations, like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. Jesus is literally saying that the overcomers will also, with me, be given power over nations, over the nations. And God will also use it. Did you know that the church will also be in a position to judge angels someday? That's what the Bible says. Did you know that? That we will judge angels someday. And so, look it up. All sin and rebellion is going to be severely punished when the Lord returns from heaven. So no matter what you see happening right now in the world, and all the rebellion and all the snubbing and all the disregard for God and his authority and his order of things, all that the devil seems to be getting away with is only for a season. You see, the Lord will use the enemy to wake up his people and get his people back to where they need to be. Amen. And once the people of God repent and get back with God and come back to life again. Amen. Then the devil is going to have his day. Amen. The Lord is going to deal with him. The Lord is going to then bring judgment on the enemy and then on the enemies of God's people. But right now, we're witnessing a lot of things happening that are out of our control. Why? Because it's in God's control. And we need to remember that it is in God's control, but God uses people and people rebel against God and people make decisions independent of God and innocent people get hurt because people make decisions that are not according to the will of God, but they use their own stubborn will to resist the will of God. And therefore we have problems in this world because man naturally is a rebel. Man naturally is in rebellion to God. Amen. Therefore, God sent Jesus, amen, to set things in order, to redeem a people, amen, to give those people authority and power, hallelujah, to enforce what he's already done in the earth. But nothing's going to get done, guys, until somebody says, Lord, here am I, send me. In other words, what we do in the natural matters. What we do in the natural is very important. Because before the spiritual is the natural. That's God's order of things. The first man was Adam, right? He was earthly, of the earth. The second was the man from heaven, Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh, God the Son, amen. Who is what? The last Adam. The spiritual. Hallelujah. First the natural, then the spiritual. Now, stay with me because there's something very important that people need to understand. Sometimes these Gnostic ideas, Gnosticism, and these ideas, these doctrines of demons can infiltrate the minds of God's people sometimes to thinking that natural things aren't that important or what I do in this, in my flesh or in my body or in my family or in my job and all these things and how I conduct my business is not all that important. How many know it is very important what you do in the natural? Because there's a connection between the natural and the spiritual. Okay, stay with me. So when a person trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the authority and the power that was lost through Adam's transgression is then restored to them. In Hebrews 2:6, it says, "For in one place the scripture said, 'What are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor.'" Talking about people, right? "You gave them charge of everything you made. You gave them authority over all things." Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. "But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority." Isn't that true? There are still many enemies that we are contending with at this time. But what we do see in verse 9 is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. He became like us. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. So Jesus was born to reign. Amen? And you and I are born again to reign with him. He was born to reign, and you and I are born again to reign with him. So where is Jesus right now? Well, he's sitting right at the right hand of the Father, right? Until all things are placed under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies," where? "Under his feet." And because his feet are part of his body, and we are the body of Christ, therefore God intends that we should reign under the headship of Jesus. All things under his feet. Amen. And his feet are what? Part of his body. And therefore, we being part of the body of Christ are to reign under the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. So, 1 Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," this is talking about the Lord, "he may have the preeminence." He is Lord of all. Amen. Lord of heaven and earth and Lord of the church. So you won't be given power over the nations if you don't learn to rule over your flesh. Now, this is where the battle is. It's not so much what the devil is doing. It's like it's really about what I'm doing. Because if I'm not listening to that voice and I'm not bowing down to that voice, I'm not listening to the devil, then he has no place in me. He has no control over me. Amen. But if I want to obey that voice and listen to the voice of the liar, the deceiver, then I'm giving him permission to get in my head and into my life. Amen. And to create all kinds of chaos and create all kinds of problems. But if we want to have power over the nations, if we want to be overcomers, we're going to have to keep ourselves under the authority of Christ, and we need to be loyal to him as a bride will be loyal, amen, to her husband. All right? As a bride would keep herself until the wedding day. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants his church, his bride, to keep herself unspotted from this world, to keep herself pure and undefiled. Amen? Because we are to keep ourselves for our heavenly bridegroom who will come at the appointed time of the Father. When the Father says, "Son, go get your children." Amen? It's time for the Lord to come and to receive his bride. Hallelujah. But we need to be ready, and we need to be in preparation. Today is the time of preparation, for the coming of the bridegroom is drawing near. Yes, amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I discipline my body," his natural body, "and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified." Overcoming is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. By our leaning on, relying on the power of God. We cannot do this in ourselves. We must know the Lord. We must rely upon the Lord. Trust him. Amen. So we must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is where God's people, we can get into trouble, amen, is that we don't keep the tank topped off, amen, and we allow ourselves to get empty, hallelujah, and so that old nature, amen, wants to take over again, that's within us, you know what I'm talking about. We've got this battle going on, who's going to be in charge today? Amen. We want to be under the lordship of Jesus. Amen. We want to submit to his lordship. And so we need to be a people of his presence. We must pray and seek his face and worship the Lord in spirit. Amen. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that inner man is overcoming that outer man. Amen. And we have life and peace in the spirit. Hallelujah. And as we learn how to discipline ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are positioning ourselves for God's promotion. If you want to be advanced in the kingdom, you're going to have to first get control of your flesh. If you don't deal with your flesh, you're not going anywhere. Do you hear me? There's a lot of people that don't deal with their flesh. They let it have its way. They are double-minded. They can be Christian on Sunday and heathen on Monday. Are you hearing me? And so we want to be a people that of his presence, that are under the lordship of Jesus, that keep ourselves in that place so the enemy cannot touch us, because he's looking just for a crack in the door, an opportunity, you know, a little dabble with the devil, you know. Yeah, he's just looking for a little opportunity here, just a little sympathy here. You know, it's not a big sin. How many know that little sins lead to big sins? Little sins are opening doors, amen, and allowing the enemy in. God wants his people to be pure. He doesn't want us cheating on him. Spiritually, positionally, you and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as believers. But in the natural, there is a process that we undergo. And it prepares us for kingdom reigning. In the natural, we're undergoing a process that is preparing us for reigning in the kingdom. So this is where the tests come. This is when the difficulties of life come in. This is when the trials come in. Amen. Because what God is doing is he's setting you up, amen, for a promotion. But you're going to have to overcome the temptation. You're going to have to overcome the test. Amen. So that you can be entrusted with the true riches. So that you can be given authority. Amen. Because God doesn't give authority in the sense to someone who's in rebellion. You can have power. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have power. But what we also need is the authority of God working together with the power. That power needs to be under the authority of God. Can someone say amen? Because people get into trouble when they start to go rogue, amen? And they're not under the authority that God has placed in their lives, amen? And therefore they just run out and they do their own thing. And how many know that witchcraft is an abuse of God's power? Where there's selfish ambition, right? There's confusion in every evil work. So we cannot be motivated by selfish ambition. We can't be in this for us. We're in this for Jesus. We're in this because we are grateful for what he's done in our lives and how he saved us, amen, and turned our lives around, and we owe him. We can never pay him back. We have a debt of love. Amen. We want to just love him back the rest of our lives out of gratitude for what he's done. But the enemy is trying to get us to become an enemy again by getting us to compromise. Amen. And listen to his voice so he can get a route or a road back into your life. So when we are not born again and immediately given great spiritual responsibility. How many here, when you were first born again, you just wanted to go take the nations, right, for Jesus? You know, that's not a bad thing to want to have, you know, a big influence in the world, all right? But the thing is that it doesn't work according to our timetable and the way that we want it. God is the one that gives the gifts. God's the one that promotes. He's the one, right, that will allow you to do this or that. And it's going to be by the power of the Spirit. And it's going to be under his authority, not in your own authority. And sometimes there's a fine line between the authority I'm given myself and the authority that comes from God. And whenever I step outside of the will of God, I'm in trouble. When you take yourself out from under God's authority, when you take yourself out from under God's word, you are vulnerable. How many know that there's life in Him who is the Word? God wants us to learn how to first rule over our flesh before we'll be entrusted with greater riches. You know, guys, listen, God is trying to get every one of us to die to ourselves. He's working in us. It's a process. But in order for us to be who we're called to be, we must learn how to deny ourselves. We must learn how to discipline ourselves. We need to learn how to discipline even our bodies, amen, so that it is not our master, but it is our servant. And it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are to keep ourselves pure. Amen, somebody. Overeating, television, video games. How about saying no to lust, greed, hate, unforgiveness, and saying yes to the will of God? These are the things that we're confronted with. Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to rule today? Who's going to be, right, Lord of my life? And if you don't learn to rule over your flesh, don't expect to rule with Christ in His kingdom. The reason I'm saying this is because God wants good for every one of us. God wants advancement, promotion, blessing, gifts, amen? Yes, gifts, but He wants to, most importantly, He wants to be able to reward you eternally for your faithfulness. He wants to share His kingdom with you. But it's going to require you and I understanding that I cannot be the one in charge of my life anymore. In the sense that, you know, I'm not acknowledging God. God gives you freedom to choose. So in that sense, you are in charge, but you're not going to be able to do the will until you understand that my will must be under His will. And I must learn how to discipline myself. If I don't control myself, like Paul said, if I don't discipline my body, even after I've preached to everybody else, even after I've done all these wonderful things for God, how many know Paul did many miracles? Amen. He suffered a lot as well. But he said, if I don't discipline myself, even after everything I suffered and everything I've accomplished, I could be disqualified from the prize. That's the Apostle Paul. You see, many people, we want to prophesy and heal the sick and cast out demons and perform miracles. And these things we should be doing. Somebody say amen. Amen. But how you live your day-to-day life in the natural is very important. How do I live my life in the natural? Will they determine where I am spiritually with God? How do you treat your boss? How do you treat your husband or your wife? How do you treat your fellow man? How do you conduct yourself on the job? How do you conduct your own personal business? What do you do when no one is watching? All these things that we do in the natural have a connection to the spiritual and to the eternal. If you are a good steward over the natural, God will entrust you with spiritual authority and riches. Amen. And those who overcome their flesh, amen, this world, the devil, your flesh, amen, those who overcome will be given power over the nations. Wow. How many know that God doesn't want you just to barely skim into heaven? Just barely make it through the door. God wants us to have an abundant welcome into His presence, amen, into His kingdom. And so He's given you opportunity. He's given me opportunity in the natural things to be faithful, to be good stewards, to be good examples, to be good citizens, amen, to be an example in society. How many know that even things such as cleaning your house, hello, taking care of the things that you have. Are you being a good steward? How many know that it's God that gave you the things that you have? He gave you the ability to get wealth, amen? But how many know that even how you treat those things is important? I know they're here for a season, but one of the things my dad taught me, he says, take care of your stuff. You know, he's right. We should take care of our stuff. Because everything I have is a gift from God, and I should be appreciative. I should appreciate it. We had a neighbor, I shared this with some of you a few years ago, I think. But we had some neighbors that, not here, but in one place where we used to live, who had a couple children, and they were very wealthy. And the children got everything they wanted whenever they wanted it. So they had all these expensive toys. You know, back in the day, I think it was the big wheel, and some of those weren't that expensive, but they had those motorized cars and all kinds of stuff, you know. But, you know, one day I went out and I witnessed one of the boys literally taking a stick or something or a club or a baseball bat and just destroying stuff. You know, no appreciation for what he had because everything was just handed to him. Why am I saying that? I think that we should be thankful and grateful for whatever we have. And especially when you've had to go to work to get it. Amen. When you pour yourself into your children, when you pour yourself into your family, when you pour yourself into people you love, amen, you in a sense can be jealous over them because you don't want them to be destroyed because you've put in so much investment in them. The more you invest in somebody, the more you love them. The more you the longer you have your children and the more that you poured your life into them, the more you love your children. That's just the way it grows. Because there's value. You see value. You've poured your life into this person. Amen. And that's why it grieves us sometimes when we pour our hearts and our lives into people and then they go sour. Or they become wayward. You know, not that God can't turn that around, but it grieves our hearts. And you know, I think about how the Lord has done so much for us, poured himself out for us, given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. What else could he have done for us that he hasn't already done? Amen. And if we're not appreciative of that, that means that we won't give him thanks. We won't give him praise. Amen. We will just disregard his goodness. And often we will even take upon ourselves the praise that belongs to him. If we're going to do any rejoicing and praising, praise the Lord. Amen. Make your boast in God, for he's the one that deserves it. Jesus said it this way. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Notice it's first the natural, then the spiritual. Verse 11 in New Living Translation says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches in heaven or of heaven? If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? How many know that we need to be good stewards over what God gives us? We need to be faithful to give and to honor God with what he gives us. Amen. Be obedient to him. But also we need to conduct our business in a way that doesn't give the world an opportunity. Amen. To point a finger at us and say, there's a Christian and they're cheating on their taxes. You see, if you're not faithful on the job, if you're not faithful at home, taking care of your family, you're denying the faith. And you're presenting a poor testimony to the world. Luke 19:17, and he said to them, Jesus said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over what? Here it is, 10 cities. Some people mistakenly believe that natural things are not important. Such as, I'm going to get in trouble now, showing up for work on time. Again, I said it, managing your finances, paying the bills on time. Providing for your family, teaching your children. Yeah, it's very important. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why? Because the way you live your life in the natural is an expression of worship to God. Worship is more than just singing songs on Sunday morning. Amen? Worship is my life given back to God to honor Him in everything that I do. So when the Lord looks and says, you've been good, you've been faithful, you've taken care of your family, you sacrificed, amen, to make sure your children had food on the table and clothing on their backs, amen. You've been faithful over what I've entrusted to you, amen, even to support the work that I've called you to support. Some people have been given the gift of giving, amen, and they can give and they have a heart to give, amen. But all of us are called to be faithful stewards and to honor God with our wealth. Understanding that it all came from Him in the first place. How many know the best investment to make is investment in the kingdom, in the will and the work of God? That's why we support missionaries. Because we know they're out there doing the work of the Lord. Amen. And that's how many know that's not putting your money in a bag full of holes. That's not putting your money in a bank that might go bankrupt, all right? But you invest in the spirit by giving in the natural. You invest spiritually as you give faithfully in the natural. Okay. If Abraham had only restrained himself in the natural, there would not be this ongoing conflict today in the Middle East. That's the sons of Jacob and the sons of Esau going at it. That whole Palestinian situation over there. It's because Abraham failed to discipline himself. If King Saul had shown restraint in the natural, he would not have lost his anointing, his life, and his kingdom. How about Samson? Anointed of God, powerful man. If he had shown restraint in the natural, he would not have lost his anointing and his life eventually, right? He wouldn't have ended so tragically. How about Solomon? If he had shown some restraint in the natural, he would not have failed spiritually. But what happened is Solomon failed to rule over his lust. He failed to rule over his flesh. 1 Kings 11:1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. What happened? Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Why? Because Solomon did not restrain himself. Verse 4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, just like he was warned. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So you see how the choices that Solomon made in the natural had a direct impact on a spiritual life. Hello. The difference between David and Solomon, even though David had sinned, David took responsibility for his actions. He repented and he was restored to carry on. With some regrets, of course. But there's no indication that Solomon ever did. That he ever repented. We don't know. Solomon began well, but he ended tragically. Even though we know Solomon was anointed of God, and he was given wisdom and wealth like no man. I mean, you read the Proverbs today. If Solomon had just heeded the very words that he penned, that were given to him by God, he could have avoided that tragic ending to his life. And again, God does not want his people giving themselves over to impurity, amen, to lust, and giving the devil an opportunity to get into us, amen, and to ruin us, because God wants only good for his children. He's a good father, so he gives us instruction because he wants the best for us. In Revelation 2:11, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Revelation 2:26, "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will what? Give power over the nations." Revelation 3:5, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 3:12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." Revelation 21:7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he will be my son." But verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Who is he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the overcomers. You and I have the overcomer in us. We can do all things through Christ. Amen. We do not place our confidence in our own flesh, in our own ability to live for God, but we rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, and we walk in the Spirit, amen, and therefore we don't gratify the misdeeds of our flesh, amen. We don't yield to that sin nature anymore, because the power of the Spirit of God sets us free, amen, from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what set me free from the law of sin and death. For those who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk what? According to the Spirit. Yes, there's no excuse. If you're a child of God today, God gives you authority and he gives you control over your body, over your flesh, and what you do and everything that you do, you should do for the glory of God. Amen. Because it matters in eternity. If you want a spiritual promotion, be faithful in the natural things. The reason why some people are not moving on, they're not going anywhere, is because they're not dealing with some things that God has revealed to you in the natural for you to repent of, amen, and get right with him. And if you want to go forward, you're going to have to say yes, Lord. Because soon, very soon, it's all going to be over. We'll take our last breath and we will see Jesus, amen. In that day, we will not be able to go back and repeat anything. We will not be able to change anything. Who we are at that moment is who we're going to be for eternity. Are you hearing me, somebody? Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day to get your heart right with God, to repent of your sins. Amen. Be a heart like David. Amen. That was taking responsibility and say, you know what? I need to get some things straightened out. I need to clean house here. I need to get my house in order. Amen. I need to get back to the altar. I need to get back to imparting into my children. Amen. And praying for my brothers and my sisters and praying over my family and being responsible on the job and being a good steward over what God has entrusted to me. Amen. I need to get back to being the best employee. Amen. On the job site. Amen. Because I'm not doing it as unto man, but I'm working as unto the Lord, and I honor him by what I do in the natural. And if you're faithful over little in the natural, he'll make you ruler of much in the spiritual. Hallelujah. A lot of times we're looking for instant gratification, instant results, and it don't happen. Well, maybe God's not in it. I want to know that God will not forget your labor of love. He will not forget what you've done in obedience to him. Payday is coming for every one of us that's been faithful. Amen. The time of promotion is coming. If we live our natural life according to the will of God, we will reap eternal benefits, hallelujah, as a result. But if we choose not to restrain ourselves now, we won't be qualified. We won't be qualified to reign with Christ someday. So choose this day. Who are you going to serve? Who's the overcomer? The overcomer is the true believer who faithfully obeys the Lord. The overcomer is the one who remains faithful to their divine heavenly bridegroom, amen, to the Lord, hallelujah. David didn't try to get himself promoted. He was just faithful to do the task at hand. And so God saw in David a faithful man who could be trusted. Think about it. David wasn't taking care of the sheep because David was looking for a promotion. David was just doing what was his responsibility. But he did it faithfully? And how many know that if you're out to pasture with the sheep, not that I've spent time out in the pasture with sheep, but you're away from gazing eyes usually. You're out there in the middle of nowhere sometimes, just doing your thing. But how many know that God saw David's heart? God saw David's faithfulness, and God was preparing David for reigning, amen? So God was the one that brought the lion and the bear into his path, that David would learn to use the natural weapons he had, amen, at hand, and to learn to be skillful in the things that were entrusted to him in the natural, because the day was coming when God was going to exalt him as king. And he was going to crown him with the anointing and give him authority, because he saw in David a man after God's own heart. Who we are in secret when nobody else is watching matters, because God is looking, God is watching. I want to please the Lord. How about you? David's faithfulness caught God's attention. You see, David wasn't trying to promote himself. God promoted David. Hallelujah. How many know if God promotes you, no man can demote you? Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. That's why we're good employees. Amen? That's why we're good stewards. That's why we're faithful parents. Amen? Faithful children, obedient to our parents. Come on, somebody. Because we're doing it not necessarily unto them, but we're doing it as unto the Lord. And if your ways are pleasing to the Lord, amen, then the Lord will favor you. He'll bless you. How many know that there is a promise for children who are obedient to their parents? A promise of long life, that it may go well with you in the earth. That's true. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Timothy, almost finished. 2:11. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. How many have heard that statement? Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. Well, I like to say it this way. You're no natural good unless you're heavenly minded. You're no natural good unless you're heavenly minded. That's the truth. A person who is not being responsible is not heavenly minded. A heavenly minded person will be a very responsible person in the natural. Somebody say amen. Overcoming is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I trust that you receive something from the Lord today. When God gives you something, do something with it. Amen. If you receive the word today from the Lord, be a good steward over that word. You got to steward the word that God gives you. That means I need to take it and I need to internalize it. Amen. And I need to apply it in my own life. Not only that, but when I receive something from God, it's not just for me, but now I have something that I can share with somebody else. And as you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. If you give what you receive, amen, you don't lose it. So find somebody to share, amen, what you learn today with, all right, that you share with somebody. This is important. This is sowing in the Holy Spirit. You see, words are spiritual in nature. But God chooses natural people, amen, to invest his spirit into. And then his spirit will speak through natural people. And the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life-giving. Amen. So it takes a natural response to the will of God for the word of God to find root in someone else's heart. For there to be fruit, there must be a willing, obedient vessel. There must be somebody that's saying, Lord, I'm willing to take what you've given me, amen, and invest it in my children or in my grandchildren or in my neighbor or whoever you bring in my path, amen, that's willing to listen. I have something to share, hallelujah, amen. It's not just for me, it's for somebody else too. That's how the kingdom is advanced. Every one of us being a witness for Jesus. And we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us. That you're in us. You're the teacher. Oh God, use us. Use us for your glory. Lord, we ask you to break every chain. To liberate every captive. Lord, shatter our indifference. Stir us and wake us. Bring us to full flame. Oh God, revive us. Lord, revive me. We need you. We need you. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you to whet your appetite this week by getting in the Word and by seeking the face of God, praying and seeking the Lord. Amen. If we are not hungry and thirsty for the Lord, there's a problem. It means that we're filled with something else. So whet your appetite by disciplining yourself, telling your body, get up, pray, get up, read. Amen. Turn off the television. Obey the Lord. Tell your body what to do. As you are faithful in the natural, God will entrust you with the spiritual riches. Amen. And if we are salted by the Lord, amen, it will create a thirst for more. And the more that you drink, the more that you are refreshed, and the greater the blessing you will be in this world. Because what we're called to do is beyond us. It requires God's presence. Amen. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's lift our hands right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to baptize my heart with your Holy Spirit and fire. Set me on fire for you and use me for your glory. Lord, give me boldness to proclaim the truth in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.